morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to say thank you for being here in attendance at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time. Amen. Yes, He is. I know we have a few God sightings and a few announcements. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Diane first. I believe she has a couple announcements this morning as well.
Yes. Today is Announcement Sunday in our district in the Methodist Church. And as you know, in the Methodist Church, they rotate pastors, and pastors are reassigned each year. So I got a letter this week from the district superintendent, and Patty has been assigned to our church again for another year. So we'll have her for another year. And the other thing is the community chorus concert is this afternoon at the Bardo Center at Western at 3 o'clock. We're doing Elijah, which is a big oratorio by Mendelssohn with full orchestra and the community chorus along with the university chorus. So it's a big production. So if you'd like to see it, it's a free concert. So that's at 3 o'clock at Bardo. I also got a link for, they're live streaming it. So if you would like a link just to view it at home on your computer, let me know and I'll send you that link.
Thank you. Sonia, do you want to comment about Music Man? And today, there's a program for that today as well.
Yeah, the high school theater program for the spring, their performance is Music Man. They've got their last performance today at 3 o'clock also at the high school. $15 tickets for adults.
From what I understand, it has been a hit and it's incorporated over 100 children?
100 kids from middle school all through high school.
That's wonderful.
That's a good way to get an audience.
That's right. Got a lot of parents on that.
And also, thanks to Diane, we will be receiving from, I got to give their plug to them, Western North Carolina United Methodist Church Vitality Committee. We have received $1,000 to do our picnic table, a little produce stand, and there's going to be enough where we can get our garden started. So that check should be coming in the next several days, and we just want to acknowledge that group for awarding that money to this church just to help us along and maybe do a little bit more outreach and fellowship with that. Do we have any God sightings or any other announcements? I do have one more announcement. But I want to go ahead and get y'all covered first. Do we have any God sightings or not? Okay, Sonia.
God sighting for me was the rain yesterday. Thank goodness we've been in a drought for so long. But I know it was kind of a rainy Saturday, but we really did need it.
Yes, we did.
That was what I was going to say. Thank you.
All right. And also, I would like to acknowledge, I know she was going to hang out and not come in today, but we have a birthday today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Miss Sonia. God sighting, which will probably be for the next several weeks, is music. I love music. I love it, and I'm getting to partner with Diane and Ken, and eventually we'll be partnering with Martha Vincent as well. And we're just getting to practice every week, getting in preparation for the May 31st, Fifth Sunday Sing, so I'm really looking forward to that. I hope that everyone has at least one song on there. that you like, that that you'll be able to participate and sing. But we are going to be doing a variety of different pieces of music. We'll be doing hymns, traditional hymns. We'll be doing some contemporary. And because I come from a bluegrass background, we will do at least one bluegrass song with the fiddle. So that's for Mr. Kent, because I know he loves the bluegrass out of that. So if there are no other God sightings or announcements, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, you stand at the gate watchful and steady and just full of grace. And you know what enters our lives and what must be kept out. Guard our hearts today and let the truth come in. And turn away what would harm us. Lead us through the right paths and help us to trust your voice above all others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I would ask that you please turn into your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2, and read 19 through 25 as Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord. Stand if you're able. Turn to page 261 and we will do Lord of the Dance, and we will do the first two verses. Please stand. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Know that the Lord who made us is God.
We are the Lord's. We are the people.
God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Give you thanks and bless God's name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
Prayers that we need to lift up. Yes, Miss Bonnie.
Continued prayers for my family.
For whom?
JD, Brenda, Madison.
Do we have any other prayer concerns this morning?
The power's put together that we need it. The whole world, we need peace.
Yes, ma'am. I pray for the government and our nation every week.
And for the people who are making all the rules and regulations in this case, my neighbors.
I need prayers this week.
Okay, Bonnie.
And Brittany, of course. And of course, I think we all should be praying for Twyla right now. She's transitioning into a new portion of her life where she needs to sell her house and find something that she could actually
manage.
Work with. Manage.
Yeah.
So. I know it's really difficult for her.
Do we have any other prayer concerns this morning?
Rain.
Continued more rain. I hope we do. I think we're supposed to get some more Wednesday. So.
South Carolina. Thursday, I think. Down lower part. Big farms for brown. Really going to have an effect on the economy and everything, I suspect.
Yeah, I noticed the rivers have been, I guess they're holding back the water in some location to try to conserve it as much as possible. So, rain is definitely a biggie for the production of food and crops and stuff. So, that definitely needs to be part of it. Do we have any other? I'm sorry?
All those fires, I don't even know if they're under control yet.
Yeah, I know we had some that started out as controlled fires and they're no longer controlled. So maybe they should have really second guessed that one. Any other prayer concerns? All right, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Lord, you see what we're carrying into this moment. Our worries and our hopes and our quiet burdens. And Father, I lift up to you your church, that it may listen for your voice and follow where you lead. We pray for our communities, especially those who feel shut out or forgotten. We ask that you please open the door of compassion and justice and mercy. And we lift up those who are hurting in body, mind, and spirit. I call out Twyla, Brittany, Brianna, JD, Brenda, Madison, and Bonnie, and for those that remain on our heart. Father, gather us and keep us close and shape us into your faithful people. And we thank you for the rain that you have sent, but we ask that we get some more. For it's your will that we ask this. And now with the confidence as your children, we pray together that the words you taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will now ask Miss Bonnie if she will join me at the table. Faithful servant, who calls us by name, you invite us into a life that is rich in meaning, deep in joy, and bold in compassion. You speak and we long to follow. Although the world is noisy and the path is unclear. In this moment of offering, we require our hearts to listen again. Receive these gifts as signs of our trust in you. May they be used to bring abundance to others, to feed the hungry, to strengthen the lost, and to proclaim your voice and love. In coming and going, in worship and service, make us more like Christ, in whose name we give and pray. Amen. Today's reading comes from John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and Miss Fitz is reading the passage.
Well, I'll try and find it.
Miss Fitz will soon read the passage.
Miss Fitz will have to read from the Bible, who cannot see the Bible with our glasses. Okay. Is it John 1?
John 10.
1 through 10.
1 through 10.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door onto the sheepfold, but climbeth up in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep bear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things they were he spake unto them. Well, can you turn the page? Yeah. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For those who are joining us online, you can find a bulletin on the Facebook page and our church official webpage. And today's message is called The Gatekeeper. So I'd like to set up the whole setting that Jesus is talking about during that time. It was the kind of morning that came quietly, without announcement. You know, that kind that didn't demand any kind of attention. It kind of revealed itself slowly as the light began to creep over the hills. And we see that when we're here early enough on sunrise and it's not raining. We can see the sun starting to come up and light over the whole valley. There was a village, and this village is beginning to stir. And down along the edge of the field, there stood this stone enclosure. Most people just walk by it by a second glance, don't even think about it. It's been there forever. It was nothing impressive, just rough stones stacked. Not even a roof onto it, just a rough, in circular enclosure. But inside that enclosure are sheep, pressed close together through the night, safe not because of the strength of the walls, but because what is present at the opening. There was only one way in and one way out. And that opening matters more than anything else right now. You might have a hired watchman who stands around somewhere in the area, but often enough, it is the shepherd himself who lays in front of that enclosure. No one else, just the shepherd. He becomes the barrier between what belonged inside and what would threaten the sheep from the outside. No predator can slip in unnoticed, and no sheep can wander out without the presence and the knowledge of the shepherd. Now, this detail seems really ordinary to a lot of y'all. For people who live in the world, it becomes the center of what Jesus is trying to teach in John 10. Though his listeners may have not realized immediately just how much he was revealing in this passage, Jesus begins by drawing attention to the difference between those who enter the gate properly and those who do not. He speaks of thieves and bandits, people who do not come through the gate but climb in, maybe actually climb over to get into this. In doing so, he is not simply talking about livestock practices. He's talking about leadership. He's talking about people who have authority and power. And most importantly, he's speaking about truth. This moment comes at the heels of conflicts with the Pharisees. Now, we know we've already seen him. He is really having some good, strong debates with the Pharisees. And they were meant to shepherd God's people, but instead they're burdening them and they're misleading them. And when Jesus speaks of thieves, he's not being abstract. He's confronting the reality that not every voice claiming to be an authority over God's people are legitimate. In the world of what we call a sheepfold, this is what this enclosure is called, the difference is clear. The true shepherd comes through the gate, known and recognized, while the thief avoids it altogether and he has no rightful claim over them. That historical reality matters because it anchors the metaphor into something much more concrete. Shepherds in first century Palestine did not drive sheep like the way the ranchers would drive cattle. We've seen that happen. They lead sheep. That's a big difference. Sheep learn their shepherd's voice over time, not through one encounter, but through daily presence in their lives. He makes sure they're fed, he guides them, he protects them, and by morning, when multiple flocks are gathered in one fold, the shepherd calls out. And each shepherd has its own unique call, and only those sheep know the call of their shepherd. Jesus leans into this familiar image and then deepens it with a claim that shifts the entire conversation. It's one of the seven I am sayings that he has. I am the gate. That statement would have carried both comfort and confrontation. Comfort because it means that access to safety and provision was not random or uncertain. Confrontation because it meant that access was not found just anywhere or through anyone else. The gate was not an optional feature of the sheepfold. It was the defining point of entry. It was the defining point of where you would be secure. To say I am the gate is to say that life with God is something we don't stumble into through our own effort or discover through competing voices. It is something we enter through Christ Jesus himself. Yet what is striking is how Jesus immediately frames that access. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come and go and find pasture. Now that language here is not restrictive, but it's expansive. It suggests a rhythm of life, movement, nourishment, freedom within the safety of that relationship. The sheep are not locked in. They are let out. They are not trapped. They are sustained. And this is where the passage begins to intersect with the reality of our own lives. Because the tension Jesus names is still present today. There are still voices that call for our attention. Still claims being made about what will lead us to life, a good life. And Jesus describes these competing voices with this stark clarity. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The progression is not accidental. It reflects what happens when something takes hold of our attention and begins to shape our direction. It may begin suddenly, almost unnoticed, but over time it begins to drain us, to diminish us, and ultimately harm us. One of the challenges in our time is that these voices, believe it or not, rarely present themselves as threats. They come disguised as opportunity, as security, and as identity. And they promise life, but they actually deliver something much different. Today, we have all kinds of gatekeepers. The bouncer at a club, for those who go to a club, he decides who gets in and who does not. The ticket scanner at a stadium. One beep, beep, will grant you entry or deny you. An amusement ride operator opens and closes the safety gate. Well, we hope they do. We've seen here incidences where they're not always secured like they promised. The doorman in a high rise controls building access. The event check-in volunteer confirms who's on the list. The online moderator will approve or block posts and comments. The casting director decides who gets seen and who does not. Even a hiring manager is the one who will open or shut that door to opportunity. You see, it's all about power, money, and who's in control. But it's only through Jesus can we get to heaven. We can't buy our way in. We can't say, oh, I'm a good person. I treat everyone like I want to be treated. We can't just do good deeds because we're hoping our good deeds will get us there. We have to go through Christ. He is the only one who holds the key. A modern illustration of this can be seen in sheer volumes of voices that we counter every day. Let's admit it. We're on our cell phones. We have the TV. There's a radio while we're driving. We have our computer screens. We have all of these voices. It's saying, listen to me. Listen to me. So one day my pastor was preaching on this very same sermon. And being a very naive layperson, I went to him and I says, well, how do we know who the real prophets are today? We hear all of this. Who are the real representatives of Christ? And he said, this is what he told me. He says, the real prophets and teachers of Christ teach and follow the way of Christ. The Holy Spirit is within him. It's simple as that, Patty. You don't have to sit and break it down. If they follow Christ, that's all that matters. He said, look at their lives. If they're not following Jesus, for the most part, trying to model and do what Jesus was doing in the New Testament, they are false prophets. And the hard part is actually living that life of Jesus. He taught us how to live. And the acronym of what would Jesus do? I used to love that. What would Jesus do? It still holds true today. You have to ask yourself, would Jesus do this? As simple as that. As simple as that. What would Jesus do? He's not persecuting his neighbors. He's loving them. He's all about showing mercy, love, and compassion. Why? Because Jesus loves everyone. Jesus loves everyone. Even those who betrayed him, and we know he was betrayed, even those who mocked him and judged him, but not one time did he turn on them. Not one time did he seek vengeance. This is who Jesus is. If I am ridiculing or judging someone else, then I have set myself up as God. And I am sorry if I have done that. And every person that we know, Jesus loves them. Through the eyes, through their eyes, we are supposed to see Jesus. There was a number of times when influences on a person's life was limited to family, community, and perhaps just a few leaders. But as I said earlier, through the phones and computer screens, we carry this constant stream of input, opinions, expectations, comparisons. I'm better than that person. Each one offered a vision of what they think our life should look like. It's not that every voice is harmful, but it is the accumulation of voices that creates this confusion. Imagine trying to follow directions in a place. Now, I'm not going to even talk about country directions because that's a whole different category. But just to talk about all of this communication coming in, every one of them, 10 different people trying to tell you how to get to Joe's garage down the road. Everyone insists they know the right way of getting there. The problem is not that guidance is absent. It's the discernment is overwhelming. And Jesus' words cut through that noise by reminding us that not all voices deserve an equal weight. Not all paths lead to life. It is only the voice of Jesus that matters. The distinction he makes, however, is not based on volume or charisma. It's relationship. Relationship. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. There is a tenderness in that image that can be easy to overlook. The shepherd does not shout commands into a crowd. He calls individuals because he knows them. There's this implied intention, this familiarity. There is a value being called by your name. Naming was an act of recognition and care. To be called by name was known not part of the masses, but someone who mattered. When Jesus uses that language, he's not offering a distant theological concept. That is not part of it. He is describing a relationship which people are seen and addressed personally. And that idea becomes clear when we think about how recognition works into our own lives. Considered a crowded room filled with conversation where thousands or dozens of voices overlap and blend into this kind of indistinct noise. We know it. We just hear this noise that's going on, right? And in that setting, most words pass by until someone mentions your name. That's all it takes. And you hear it immediately. And it's like, oh God, what are they saying? Are they talking good about me? Are they talking bad about me? What are they saying? I mean, your name is mentioned, and all of a sudden, you know it. The ability to recognize that sound is not based on any volume, but it's significant to you. It stands out because it connects to your identity. What are they saying about me? In the same way, the voice of Christ becomes recognizable, not because it overpowers every other voice, but because it is learned through relationship. The more familiar it becomes, the easier it is to distinguish what does not belong. How many of y'all remember the E.F. Hutton commercial? Okay, there we got a couple in here. In the commercial, everyone is talking. Everyone's talking. And then this very distinguished gentleman comes in. And he sits and he says something. And everyone stops. It is complete quiet. You can hear a pin drop. It doesn't matter what he said. It's just that he walked in. Everyone knew him. And the slogan to that is, when E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens. And I kind of think that would be the way Jesus is. When Jesus talks, I hope that we're all listening to what he is saying. Now, this brings us into a deeper layer of the passage. One, it moves from imagery to imitation. Jesus is not only describing how sheep behave, he's revealing how people are meant to live in a relationship to God. The tragedy is that it is possible to live surrounded by his voice and yet remain unfamiliar with it. Not because he's silent, but because we have trained ourselves not to listen. Over time, the voices we prioritize shape our instincts, our reactions, and our understandings of ourselves. If the dominant voice in our lives is one of fear and intimidation, we begin to interpret the world through that. It is one of the comparison. We measure ourselves constantly against each other. We should never do that. The only one that's important to where we measure up, and believe me when I say this, is to Jesus. And he accepts us right where we're at that time, at that very moment. We don't have to measure up in front of Jesus. We tie our worth to what we've accomplished, to our achievements. In John 17, verses 14 through 16, Jesus reminds us of this. We are in this world, but not of this world. Jesus contrasts all that with the purpose of one of the most well-known statements in the gospel. I have come that everyone may have life and have it abundantly. In the original context, the statement does not refer to the material excess, but to the fullness, to a life that is complete in its connection to God. It is the kind of life that is not defined by constantly striving, but by a settled sense of belonging and direction. We had a question in Bible study Thursday night, and my mind just slipped like that, went back gear. But it was referencing about our material worth in Jesus, of what is really important for us. I think Diane had brought it up. If I remember, I'll come back. But it talked about all the material stuff. It did not matter. They had just sent out the disciples 2 by 2, and Jesus tells them, don't take anything. Don't take any food, any provisions, a cloak. Just take your staff and start going down the road. It doesn't matter about how many toys we have. The true thing that matters is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Another way to understand this is to consider how people pursue fulfillment. There's often this assumption that life will feel complete once we meet these certain conditions, when circumstances improve. Only if I had a little bit more money. Or when goals are achieved. Only if I could just go ahead and be promoted. Or when recognition is gained. It's like drinking salt water. The more you consume, the thirstier you're going to get, but your thirst is still not going to be satisfied. Jesus' promise points in a different direction. Abundant life is not something constructed from an external achievement. It is something that we receive through relationship and being anchored in that relationship. There is also another detail in the shepherding world that often goes unnoticed, but speaks powerfully into Jesus' imagery. At night, when the shepherd lay across the opening of the fold, he does not do it as a guard. What happens if he has placed himself between him and the sheep and the danger? He has put himself in a position of vulnerability. He knows that they have to come through him before they get to those sheep. He slept where danger would arrive first. He knows that they're going to have to go through him before they get to his sheep. The shepherd's body becomes the threshold between threat and safety, and between fear and rest. That image reframes how we think about the presence of Christ in our life. We often imagine protection as something distant or automatic, but Jesus describes it as something deeply personal. Now, you think about a mama bear, and I think about Sonia, about mama bears. If someone wanted to mess with her child, either one of those two, you have to go through Sonia first. Well, that is much like shepherding. You're not going to affect the children of God without going through the shepherd first. He positions himself where our anxieties gather, where our wounds ache, where our stories feel most exposed, and he stands in that very place where we are most likely to be struck, because we know that the demon likes to tear us down at our weakest points. And because he stands there, we can rest. We can breathe. We can move through the world without constantly scanning the horizon for danger. The gate is not simply a boundary. It is a promise that we are never left to face that night alone. Now, as the morning in that hillside scene continues, the separation that began with a simple call now becomes more visible. What once looked like a single flock has become distinct groups among the shepherds, each following their shepherd. The movement is not chaotic, but purposeful. And they do not need any other purpose. They don't need a map, because they trust the shepherd for everything. The security is not knowing the path, because I'm going to tell you right now, none of us know our paths. But it's knowing the one who leads us that is most important. That image holds together everything that Jesus is teaching in this passage. He is the gate through which life is entered. the one who provides both protection and access. He is the shepherd whose voice calls people into relationship, not through coercion, but through recognition. He is the one who stands in contrast to every other voice that seeks to take rather than to give. And ultimately, he is the source of all of our life. In one way or another, we're trying to find. The challenge then is not simply to understand this metaphor that Jesus has presented, but to respond to it. It is to consider which voices have been shaping our direction and whether they're leading us toward life or away from it. It is to ask whether we have become so accustomed to the noise that's around us that we no longer recognize the voice that calls us by name. It's to rediscover what it means to follow, not blindly, but trustedly, grounded in a relationship that grows clear over time. You see, because truth at the heart of this passage is both simple and profound. The life we're looking for is not found in chasing every voice that calls out to us, demanding our attention, or even believing in following that voice. But it is learning to recognize and follow the one true voice that will always lead us back to Jesus. I'm going to give you an assignment this week. It's your own personal task. You do not have to report back. But I want you to look back on your lives and look where you're at now and ask yourself, whose voice has brought you here to where you're at today? I hope Jesus is somewhere in that path. Because we know that voice is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now we're going to turn to page 381 in the red hymnals. We will do verses 1 and 2. Please stand if you're able. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Stands at the gate and calls you by name. Walk in his ways, trust his voice, and carry his peace into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
coffee, Sonny gets the first piece of cake.